Hello everyone. When editing the podcast, I found that there was popping coming in and out, so I do apologize about that. I'll try to make sure I take care that that doesn't happen again in future episodes. Otherwise, please enjoy. Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of Admins of Atlassian podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com, where you can sign up for a free 30-day trial and get an audiobook of your choice to listen to. I'm currently listening to Dead House Gates by Steven Erickson. Before we jump into our topic for the day, I'll go over a few news items. First being the Atlassian Summit. It is here. Atlassian Summit begins November 3rd with training classes offered on that full day. And the main summit days are where you can go to the various sessions that they have available in the keynotes will be on November 4th and November 5th. If you aren't able to make it in person to the Atlassian Summit, you can definitely check out their website at summit.atlassian.com, and you can live stream the keynotes that they will be presenting. You can also check out their YouTube page and view any sessions that they have from this year, roughly about a month or so after the event. Next, Crucible 3.10 has been released, and this is a small update simply updating the activity stream and providing statuses for reviews. Also released is Confluence 5.8.15. This is nothing more than a bug release. You can see that list of bug fixes on my website. Also related to Confluence is they have updated their end of support page and noted that starting with Confluence 6.0, the documentation theme will no longer be supported. So if you've been a big fan and use the documentation theme heavily within your Confluence instance, you may want to start thinking about preparing your users to migrate from that theme before upgrading to Confluence 6.0. Lastly, for my developers out there, Bitbucket Server is now available within the Atlassian plugin SDK. So if you have that SDK in your environment, you can now utilize Bitbucket Server and do your own little development and enhancements to the product yourself. And that is all that we have for news. Let's jump right into today's episode. And for today, I just kind of wanted to finalize what we've kind of been talking about and getting started with Jira. At a very high level, I've been sharing some information and tips that of things that you should be thinking about if you're new and getting started with Jira, or maybe you're already existing and these are a few things that you can find helpful or that could be helpful to you. When certainly thinking about this topic, I tried to think about several years ago when I was looking at Jira, what did I need to know or what did I learn from that? And therefore, I wanted to share that information with you. So this is just final thoughts and related to getting started with Jira. One thing that I have not talked about was the installation type of Jira. Presently, there are two installation types for Jira. There's WAR, and then there's the bundled install or the recommended installation type. The WAR installation type is for your much more experienced users. This is simply a jar file containing everything needed for the application, and you extract that jar file to your preferred location when installing Jira, and you can run it within Tomcat, which is the preferred server for it, or any other application server like JBoss. When installing, you're going to have to configure everything for the application to run yourself. This option was only chosen for those that were much more experienced in the application environment. One thing I do want to mention in regards to this is if you're not a super experienced user, you don't necessarily have to worry about the WAR file. If you are an experienced user and you use WAR for your installation type, then you're going to be worrying pretty big. Starting with Jira 7.0, Atlassian will no longer provide WAR installation type. The default installation type will be the bundled install, or as they call it, the recommended. The recommended option is nothing more than a EXE MSI PI or bin file type for installation. This bundles everything that you need for the application. You simply download the 32-bit or 64-bit for your particular operating system. And when you execute that, it will walk you through a wizard of where you want to install the application and any other information. This is the easiest as it bundles everything that the application need to run. Now, if you do want to get a little bit more customizable or configure happy with the application, you can update certain things about it, obviously on your own once it's installed. Let's say you have a particular version of Java that's causing a bug in your environment. Well, you can update the Java version that Jira uses by replacing it with your own. Of course, that's something that you're going to have to note for future upgrades and installs, as changing any configuration files to point to that location or to refer to any customizations that you've done. The next thing is database. We never talked about the database that you pair it with. And really, like everything in Jira, and I'm sounding like a broken record here, it's really based on your own experience and what you're comfortable with. For the various database engines, Jira supports Oracle, MySQL, PostgreSQL, and Microsoft SQL Server. Now, if you were to put your ear to the internet chatter rooms, the forums, Atlassian Answers, you'll kind of see which ones other users prefer and what kind of the recommended options are. And what those are, the primary recommended one will be the PostgreSQL installation type. And I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, but I'll go with it. MySQL for the second option, Oracle, and then Microsoft SQL Server. Atlassian does their testing mostly against PostgreSQL, and a lot of users utilize MySQL for their database engine. You can't go wrong with whichever one you choose. That is debatable. The database engine that you choose will be based on what you're comfortable supporting, what you have experience with, or what your DBA team has experience with and are comfortable supporting. If you're in a big organization and you have a separate DBA team, they may very well prefer Oracle. So go with Oracle. They'll have the tools and the know-how to be able to support that platform should you need it. If you have an area that has MySQL experience, then definitely go with MySQL as your preferred database engine. Each one will have its own pros and cons. Your DBAs can help you make that decision, or a quick Google search could help you determine which ones would be the best one. By default, you're going to see a lot of the installation files or a lot of the recommendations opt for MySQL. If you're looking for cost regarding your database engine types or in setting up your Jira environment, if cost is another factor, PostgreSQL and MySQL will be your top two, as they are both open source databases, meaning no cost to you. There is a MySQL Enterprise Edition in which Oracle provides support for that you pay for, but you can get the MySQL Community Edition and utilize that with Jira as your backend. Web browsers. This is another tricky topic. When I first started with Jira about 7 years ago, IE was the rule of thumb within businesses, and for many businesses, it still is. You have a lot of legacy applications that are written to the specific functionality that IE provide. Therefore, when you bring in newer web applications, the browser may not work that well with it. So if you're in that type of organization, then you're going to have to prepare your users or prepare your IT department that you're going to use Chrome or Firefox, or that is what I would definitely recommend that you use. In my personal experience in various IE versions, along with Firefox and Chrome, the most issues that I get or I see are in Internet Explorer. Either the browser has caching issues with Jira and it just refuses to work or store any of the user session, or you can get weird display graphical issues within the tool, and obviously performance will also have taken a hit, as I've witnessed. Once I've been able to migrate users over to Firefox or Chrome, they get a big performance boost and they don't have any of those weird little IE issues as well. If you are using IE and that is your status quo, please make sure that you check out the supported platforms, and I'll have that link on the website so that you can take a look at that and the recommendations that they have regarding each browser. Like IE doesn't support compatibility view, and that's turned on by default, and that can cause a lot of issues for you if you're supporting that browser with Jira. So be sure to definitely check those out. The last little tip is brace yourself. Once you get Jira up and running within your environment, you're going to find that you have people take a look at it, play around with it, they like it, they start asking what they can do, they start asking feedback from those that are using it, and then their minds start working. Well, I'm doing this project out of the spreadsheet, or I'm tracking these tasks within a spreadsheet. Can I do that in Jira? And your answer is going to be yes, you can do that in Jira, but you're going to have to prepare yourself for the floodgates. The users will come. That's been my experience, and that's been the experience that I've heard from many in my different AUG groups, as well as talking to other Atlassian Jira admins at Summit or online. You're going to have an influx of people hit you up, as they will find that Jira is very flexible for their needs. Well, that's it. That's all that I have for this episode. I just kind of wanted to share some final thoughts in regards to getting started with Jira. You can definitely check out the blog post on adminsofatlassian.com, in which I have a written version of everything that I discussed, along with resource links for everything that I've discussed in this episode, as well as any news items that I've talked about. So please be sure to check that out. Also be sure to check out Audible Podcast to get a free trial. I'm listening to a book now. I'm on book 2 with Audible and I'm really enjoying it. Be sure to check the website for a link for your 30-day trial. And with that, I bid you farewell. Take care.